This is your community radio station, 88.3 Southern FM.
And this tonight we begin the space show with a little different music. It's called When I'm an Astronaut, and it's by Connect Type. And there is a reason we've changed our music. Welcome to the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie. On this evening's The Space Show, we will begin a two-part feature that is too strange to describe, so stick around. Our opening music gives a hint. We began with When I'm an Astronaut by Kinetic Type, an instrumental. There is a reason for doing that that will become apparent in the next few minutes. We're going to continue the astronaut theme with Astronaut by Sum 41. And this was the first song ever recorded by that group, Sum 41. All they ever want to be are astronauts.
When I grow up, don't be a doctor, a lawyer, or a cop. All I want to be is an astronaut. Why can't you see? It's the only thing I want to be.
Hey, it's not for me.
It's my destiny to be.
Of a spaceship.
Mom and Dad, you gave me everything you never had, but all I want to be, my lifelong dream, all I want to be is an astronaut.
Please, if you will, allow me to tell you a convoluted and strange story. It involves North and South Poles, Greenland, the Titanic, Blue Origin and New Shepard, Roald Amundsen, the Fram, Ernest Shackleton, the Endurance, Greenpeace, Qatar Airways, Chun Wang, Hamish Harding, Yannicke Mikkelsen, the Titan, that's submersible, Gulfstream, that's the Gulfstream aircraft, Terry Virts, Reba Rogge, Crew Dragon, and Eric Phillips. Now, this story was initiated by a tip-off by Space Association President Michael Abdillah and will be told in two episodes, this week and next. This story began in August when a Chinese-born entrepreneur and adventurer, Chun Wang, who lives in Malta, posted this announcement.
Please allow me to quote Steve Jobs' original iPhone announcement in 2007. This is a day I've been looking forward to for 2.5 years. Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything. Yes, I've been looking forward to this mission for 2.5 years now. From mission proposal, planning, trajectory design, to crew selection, everything has been done by the customer. And now, here we are. Until 2021, space missions were solely the privilege of governments. Private individuals were unable to charter a space shuttle like they would do for an airplane. Then the inspiration for private space flight came along and changed everything. It was a space tourist mission, but unlike any space tourists before it. For the first time in spaceflight history, a private individual could rent an entire spacecraft, planned, designed, and executed their own very personal mission with clear objectives. It should never be underrated. Later, we saw the emergence of the Polaris program, which is essentially a new Gemini for our time, but this time entirely driven by an individual rather than a government. With FRAM-2, we aim to open this door even wider. This is the true allure of commercial spaceflight. I've read many sci-fi stories about the first human missions to Mars, usually led by NASA or some fictional government. Rarely does anyone dare to imagine such a mission may be carried out privately. But now, I increasingly believe that someday we will reach Mars, and it may be a person, or a company, not a nation, who gets there. A new chapter in space exploration is unfolding before our eyes. Stay tuned.
So that made me wonder, well, who is Chun Wang?
Chun Wang is the co-founder and administrator at F2 Pool and founder of Stake.fish, one of the largest validators of cryptocurrency. He is currently halfway through visiting every country, territory in the world.
About the same time as Wang made his announcement, SpaceX issued this release.
First human spaceflight to fly over Earth's polar region. In the past 4 years, SpaceX has launched 13 human spaceflight missions, safely flying 50 crew members to and from Earth's orbit and creating new opportunities for humanity to live, work, and explore what is possible in space. Dragon's 46 missions overall to orbit have delivered critical supplies, scientific research, and astronauts to the International Space Station, while also opening the door for commercial astronauts to explore Earth's orbit. As early as this year, Falcon 9 will launch Dragon's sixth commercial astronaut mission, FRAM-2, which will be the first human spaceflight mission to explore Earth from a polar orbit and fly over the Earth's polar regions for the first time. Named in honor of the ship that helped explorers first reach Earth's Arctic and Antarctic regions, FRAM-2 will be commanded by Chun Wang, an entrepreneur and adventurer from Malta. Wang aims to use the mission to highlight the crew's explorational spirit, bring a sense of wonder and curiosity to the larger public, and highlight how technology can help push the boundaries of exploration of Earth and through the mission's research. Joining Wang on the mission is a crew of international adventurers: Norway's Jannik Mikkelsen, vehicle commander; Australia's Eric Phillips, vehicle pilot; and Germany's Rabia Rog, mission specialist. This will be the first spaceflight for each of the crew members. Throughout the 3-to-5-day mission, the crew plans to observe Earth's polar regions through Dragon's cupola at an altitude of 425 to 450 kilometers, leveraging insight from space physicists and citizen scientists to study unusual light emissions resembling auroras. The crew will study green fragments and mauve ribbons of continuous emissions comparable to the phenomenon known as STEVE, the strong thermal emission velocity enhancement, which has been measured at an altitude of approximately 400 to 500 kilometers above Earth's atmosphere. The crew will also work with SpaceX to conduct a variety of research to better understand the effects of spaceflight on the human body, which includes capturing the first human X-ray images in space, just-in-time training tools, and studying the effects of spaceflight on behavioral health, all of which will help in the development of tools needed to prepare humanity for future long-duration spaceflight.
One of the people announced as a crew member on the mission was Norwegian Jannicke Mikkelsen.
Jannik Mikkelsen biography, vehicle commander. Mikkelsen is a Norwegian award-winning film director and cinematographer who specializes in movie productions using next-gen technology. Jannik has developed a niche working in hazardous environments on film productions in the Arctic, underwater, aviation and space. Her innovation highlights include working with wildlife pioneer David Attenborough to shoot the first 360-degree documentaries underwater, film director for the legendary rock band Queen's 3D, 360 live music video, Guinness World Record holder of the fastest circumnavigation of Earth via the North and South Pole while live streaming to 55 million viewers from 13 kilometers altitude, and virtual cinematographer for Netflix's sci-fi thriller, Stowaway, starring Anna Kendrick. Mikkelsen is the recipient of the first ever European Society of Cinematographers Award for Extraordinary Technical Achievement. In 2017, she was named one of Norway's most influential women in tech, and in 2019, one of UK's most influential women in tech.
That name, Jannicke Mikkelsen, sounded familiar to us here at The Space Show. A search through our archive revealed why. In 2019, in an effort to mark the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 landing on the moon, a Qatar Airways Gulfstream G650 executive business jet was flown around the world. So what you say? Well, what was different was that this flight would be over the North and South Poles. Turns out, Mikkelsen was a crew member on that flight, as was NASA astronaut Terry Virts. In a discussion made to explain the attempt to break the record for the polar round-the-world flight, Terry described the aim.
The same time and day that Apollo 11 took off 50 years ago, Virts and his crew will depart in a Gulfstream G650ER, an extended-range version of Gulfstream's G650 jet, in an attempt to break the round-the-world speed record for an aircraft flying over the North and South Poles. In doing so, they also hope to mark the start of the historic Apollo 11 mission to the Moon. There's more to this story. Colonel Virts was one of a number of astronauts that over the years has been trained by Hollywood cinematographers in order to lens images from the International Space Station that have been used in various ways, including for archival purposes and for IMAX documentaries such as Blue Planet. Now, Virts is making his directorial debut with a documentary about this week's world record attempt. That's where Hollywood cinematography community got involved. James Nyehaus is the cinematographer that trained Virts and numerous other astronauts to help them bring back images from space, and he will serve as director of photography for this documentary. He, along with cinematographers Richard Crudo and Jannicke Mikkelsen, are among the cinematographers positioned around the world to help capture footage for the documentary. To tell us about this effort and NASA's history with Hollywood cinematography community, today we're joined by Colonel Terry Virts, James Nyehaus, Richard Crudo, and Jannicke Mikkelsen. Welcome and thank you for joining us.
It's good to be here.
Terry, we're going to start with you. The current world record is 52 hours and 32 minutes, and your target is 49 hours and 36 minutes. How do you intend to meet that goal?
Well, we're going to try and fly fast. The real challenge, I think, is going to be the ground stops. The flight time is going to be fairly fixed. That depends on winds. And if there's some weather we have to fly around, that could slow us down, or if air traffic control. But the big question is going to make this record possible. It has been, and we're coming up on the Apollo flight.
If you saw one of the recent IMAX movies filmed aboard the space shuttle, you would have seen some of Terry's work.
Being on the IMAX documentary was my favorite thing that I did in space. I also think it was the most important.
Mikkelsen's role on the flight was to live stream the event to YouTube. Before the flight, she explained this.
Jannicke, will you tell us about your role and responsibilities?
My responsibility is the connectivity to the satellites around the globe. So it's not as straightforward as it sounds. It's not like connecting to the internet and you're always connected, because satellites cannot orbit over the North Pole and the South Pole. We are live streaming this mission for a 48-hour live stream. There are areas on the globe where we want to have connectivity, and my job is to make sure that when we do have connectivity, that it is the best possible, in addition to also filming the documentary as a cinematographer. So there are two productions happening. One is a documentary, and the other is a live streaming. We are using same cameras for documentary filming and live streaming. To achieve live streaming, this has never been done before, by connecting two satellites. We have four dedicated satellites to us orbiting the planet, and they, last week, we started dialing them in to our flight path. We are getting extra satellites also beamed in to cover our locations for Chile, Peru, and other areas. We will not have satellite coverage over the North Pole and the South Pole, and we will focus on the documentary, maybe potentially also sleep. Technical requirements is beaming the signal from the aircraft to the satellites, from the satellites to a ground receiver, from the ground receiver to a cell tower. This will be from a 4K production for the documentary down to a 1080 signal for the ground. Now, once that signal hits the ground, it becomes a cell tower signal, and it will stream like a regular social media live stream.
Before arriving at the flight's departure point at the Kennedy Space Center's shuttle landing facility runway, she had very little chance to test the live stream technology.
So it was kind of fun. During our testing today, we actually broke an unofficial world record by streaming via satellite. I don't believe anybody in the world has actually streamed for the length that we have from the altitude that we did. So it's going to be quite interesting to do the orbital flight when you want to get really techy. So everything we do from here on and out is going to be a world record.
And you're listening to a very strange story on The Space Show.
Southern FM.
The sounds of the Bayside.
Where you're listening to The Space Show, telling a very, very strange and convoluted story. Terry Wirtz's astronaut experience included working with Russian cosmonaut Gennady Padalka. Padalka was invited to join them on the leg of this one more orbit flight southwards out of Kazakhstan.
How many people are actually going to be on the flight tomorrow, Terry?
So tomorrow we'll be taking off with 9. One of the really cool aspects of this, I can't wait when we get to our first stop in Kazakhstan. My former crewmate Gennady Padalka, Russian cosmonaut, is going to join us. So he's going to get on the airplane. We'll be 10. And then we're going to fly down to Mauritius, and he's going to get off in Mauritius. Unfortunately, that leg from Mauritius to Chile goes over the South Pole. It's a really, really long leg, and there are no divert airfields. I mean, if you know, you can't land in Antarctica in the wintertime. It's wintertime down there now. So Gennady has to get off for fuel purposes, but that'll be fun to add him. So we're 9 people, and then that one leg, we have 10. And I'm sure we're going to reminisce about our time on the space station, and it's kind of one more orbit for him also. I first launched out of Florida, which is where we are, and then his first launch and my last launch was out of Kazakhstan, which is where we're picking him up.
This record-breaking attempt was documented and later released as a feature. Here is Terry Wirtz's introduction.
Years ago, Magellan set sail from Spain on what would become the first circumnavigation of the Earth. 50 years ago, the Apollo 11 crew set sail on humanity's first voyage to the moon, breaking the boundaries of what was previously thought possible. Today, our intrepid team of aviators and astronauts will attempt to fly around the Earth faster than anyone ever has, in an effort to set the pole-to-pole circumnavigation world record.
We started planning about 5 years ago, and it's been evolving ever since.
So this record, that was your idea, describe the record real quick.
It's two, really. It's an average speed record, which is the FAI international record, and the Guinness Book, which we're also going for, is a pure time record.
Okay.
It's the fastest time ever to go from one place on the Earth, over both poles, and back to the same point on the Earth, all in under 48 hours. The original idea was to celebrate the Apollo 11 landings. So the actual landing, which is now 50th anniversary, coming up in July 2019, in a few weeks' time. And we're going to go out of the Kennedy Space Center. So just here in Florida, NASA's been very helpful. We'll be going out of the shuttle landing runway, which you know well,
having
landed your shuttle there. over the top. We have to go via the North Pole. This is a round-the-world speed record. Over the North Pole, turn right, and down to Astana. First refuel Astana. Then down to Mauritius, second refuel in Mauritius. Looks like a long route, but that's actually the shortest of the four sectors. We go from Mauritius, due south to the South Pole, turn right at the South Pole, and up to Chile, Punta Arenas, where we do the last of the three refuels. From there, we go due north, all the way back to the point we started, Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
Okay, so for this record, we have to fly directly over the North Pole, fly to the other side of the Earth, at least 120 degrees away from our takeoff point, cross directly over the South Pole, and then land at the same airfield that we took off from, all in under 48 hours.
All in under 48 hours.
In addition to astronaut Terry Virts in that piece, you also heard the voices of Qatar pilots Hamish Harding and Ian Cameron. Harding described the previous record.
This world record, it's been held by three different parties, originally a 707, then a 747, and then in 2008, the record was taken by a Bombardier Global. And we're going to attempt to take the record in 2019 with a Gulfstream G650. Max speed on this aircraft is Mach 925. It's the fastest business jet in the world.
Wow.
That is
92%,
92.5% of the speed of sound.
You know, the G650ER, one of the latest airplanes, it's got some pretty impressive kit on board. Some very clever people have designed it.
The Gulfstream is really the airplane that can make it, right?
It's very fast.
Hamish Harding, pilot and businessman working in Qatar. Now, that name sounds rather familiar, so we asked Wikipedia to remind us.
George Hamish Livingston Harding was a British businessman, pilot and adventurer based in the United Arab Emirates. He was the founder of Action Group and was chairman of Action Aviation, an international aircraft brokerage company with headquarters in Dubai. A member of the Explorers Club, he visited the South Pole several times, descended to the Challenger Deep of the Mariana Trench, travelled into space, and held three Guinness World Records. Harding died with four others inside the Titan submersible that imploded in the North Atlantic Ocean while en route to view the wreck of the Titanic. In the 1990s, Harding worked in the information technology industry. He helped establish Logica Middle East in Dubai and Saudi Arabia, as well as serving as the managing director of Logica India until he founded the private investment company Action Group in 1999. In 2004, he founded the business jet brokerage company Action Aviation. Harding worked with an Antarctic VIP tourism company, White Desert, using a Gulfstream G550 to introduce the first regular business jet service to the Antarctic. Harding also visited the South Pole several times. He accompanied Buzz Aldrin in 2016, when he became the oldest person to reach the South Pole, at age 86, and his son when he became the youngest, age 12. Harding flew to space as part of the suborbital Blue Origin NS-21 mission on the 4th of June, 2022, on the fifth crewed spaceflight of the New Shepard rocket. After traveling to space, he advocated for space tourists, paid recreational spaceflight passengers, to be called astronauts. He also advocated for the United Arab Emirates to expand its space program.
Aha, that Hamish Harding. The one who had a 10-minute ride into space aboard a Blue Origin New Shepard rocket that flew a suborbital flight above the Kármán line, the internationally recognised boundary to outer space. But hang on, wasn't Australian satellite entrepreneur Chris Boshausen aboard that same flight? No, we looked it up. Boshausen flew NG-18 to 107 kilometres on the 2021 October the 13th. Harding flew NG-21 to 107 kilometres on 2022 June the 4th. Now, this is the same Hamish Harding that died when the Titanic submersible imploded while descending to the wreck of the Titanic. That Titanic, which was sunk by a collision with an iceberg from Greenland. And more about Greenland coming up next week. But back to the One More Orbit story and Terry Virts, who has a bucket list of things he wants to do.
One of the problems with being an astronaut is that your bucket list gets too long, and there are so many beautiful places on the planet that you want to see. I flew around the Earth more than 3,000 times while in space, but I never saw the North Pole or South Pole because our orbit doesn't go there. An orbit in space only takes 90 minutes, but on this airplane it's going to take 48 hours. I'll be flying a lot slower, and I'll be much closer to the planet.
Aboard the Gulfstream executive jet, Norwegian filmmaker Janneke Mikkelsen was busy looking after the pioneering communications technology.
Setting up the live stream system required an army of people across three different continents. It took us a week to direct the spots on the satellite onto our predicted flight path. And then it took us another 4 days to wire the aircraft to handle the imaging for the live stream. We had to use these tiny small cameras because of the weight restriction.
How many additional consumers?
We had to stretch cable from the flight deck all the way back to the cargo at the back of the aircraft. What we were achieving was something that has never been achieved before. This mission is challenging technology to the max. This wasn't a guaranteed safe flight. The biggest risk was crossing the South Pole, where we wouldn't be able to diverge. Is this mission so important to me that I am happy to risk my life? And I'm such a tech nerd that yes, yes it is.
Maintaining a live stream video in 2019 from a jet flying at 860 kilometers per hour was no mean feat.
How's the Wi-Fi going, Janneke?
It's incredible. It's absolutely way above expectation. 2,000, we're up again.
Is that good or bad?
That is, oh my goodness. We're only supposed to get 1,000.
Prior to the mission, I expected 1,000 kilobits per second as best case scenario. But we weren't getting 1,000 kilobits per second. All of a sudden, we're getting 2,000. It's climbing up to 3,000. I didn't even know satellites could do this.
And everybody's on the Wi-Fi.
That's good.
So if I knock everybody off of the Wi-Fi, it could climb even higher, I'm sure.
So the signal for the live stream goes from the cameras into the switchers. So I have four Apollo unit switchers, and then that goes out through the terminal on the tail of the aircraft. Gets beamed up to the satellite, and then from the satellite down to the ground receiver. It then gets transcoded into cell tower signal, out through a cell tower, and then into the internet, and then into the cloud, and then from the cloud it gets distributed to the YouTube channel so people could see us. And all of that only had a delay of 2 seconds. It really wasn't much at all.
The One More Orbit record-breaking attempt was successful, as proclaimed by Hamish Harding after they landed back at the Kennedy Space Center.
You got a world record, buddy.
Yeah, we have a world record. Yay. Well done, team. Well done, team.
We did it.
Well done, guys. Fantastic. What a minute.
Well done, team.
You got a world record.
We've got the record, 46 hours, 40 minutes to go round the Earth via both poles.
I can't believe it.
We just set a world record. We flew around the world faster than anybody ever has, North Pole, South Pole.
Congratulations.
It's unbelievable.
That One More Orbit flight set a new record of 46 hours, 40 minutes and 22 seconds, breaking the previous record of 52 hours, 31 minutes and 48 seconds. A distance of 40,172 kilometres had been flown at a speed of 861 kilometres per hour against a previous record of 822 kilometres per hour. Terry Virts summed up the One More Orbit experience this way.
Over the past 46 hours, more than 200 people from every continent on the planet have come together to take another step forward in mankind's journey of exploration. Our team circumnavigated the globe, pole to pole, 11% faster than had ever been done before. On the shoulders of Magellan, Collins, Armstrong, and Aldrin, we've expanded the limits of what humans can do. One more orbit was our small step forward, shared in real time with a global audience, capable of reaching more people than ever before. Our mission ushered in a new era of environmentally responsible exploration, demonstrating that amazing things can be done while minimizing our impact on the planet. In an era of increasing global division, we showed that exploration is a uniting force, unlike anything else. 50 years ago, the entire world came together to cheer Apollo astronauts as they set foot on the moon for the first time. And our hope today is that the One More Orbit mission will unite people from around the world to dream about what is possible in our future together here on Earth. We may not know who we've inspired to take the next step forward, but we cannot wait to see what they accomplish.
Back in 2019, Terry Virts was looking forward to the day that tourists would be able to travel in space. At the time, there were two contenders vying for the business of offering suborbital experiences. Funded by Richard Branson was Virgin Galactic, who were building a rocket engine-powered aircraft to fly two pilots and six passengers to a little over 80 kilometres altitude. That altitude is what the United States regulators regard as the threshold of space. Funded by Jeff Bezos was Blue Origin, who were offering 10-minute rides for six people vertically up and down about 105 kilometres using the new Shepard rocket. In 2019, when Terry Virts made this comment, neither company had flown passengers.
As we move forward, do you see Hollywood and the space exploration community continuing to work together, actually even closer?
I hope so. You know, I loved Apollo 13 because it was real people. You know, CG is great, but I think filming actual humans is even better. And if you want to film a space movie, there's no better location to film it than in space.
And we continue this strange story next week on The Space Show.